Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Canopy Street Market on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, One-on-One. Again, shout out to Jalen Reyes for stopping by and adding to Peter Kovelt. Husker Tennis joins us. And you mentioned the guys are back at work. You're back at work. What's the schedule look like now for you? What are the days like?
Yeah, right now we're in this wonky 8-hour period. So for everyone that doesn't know, it's like you're starting practice, but you're not really allowed to practice a lot. You get 4 hours of distinguished tennis time, and then the other 4 hours, totaling 8 hours, they're allowed to do physical activity, so they go and work out in the gym. So it's not a lot of time to work out with the guys, but we at least get to start, and we kind of manage the schedule a little bit. We're starting tomorrow, so we have 4 hours. We'll do an hour tomorrow, an hour Friday, and then 2 hours on Saturday. So get in a little bit of give them a little dose of what the fall is going to be like. So
will there be any bonding over football? Is that
100%? Yeah, the boys love it. So
get together and have a full watch.
I don't know what they have planned, but the teams, that's one of my biggest priorities with the team, is that we create an environment where they do stuff together, not just go to the training table and eat together, but hang out together once everything's done for the day. I think last year our team was really close. And I think, those little things matter when it comes to some of these bigger matches that we were able to come through in last year. But it makes it more fun, when your guys really well, when you actually know them and care about them, and, they become, while they're here, it's great. But then also later in life, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you got like a friend for life, no matter where they are on the planet. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I am still friends with the guys I play ball with in college.
It's the best.
It's the best.
There's nothing like it's a deeper friendship, man. You look them in the eye and you're like, hey, that guy went through hell with me. We did all the fun stuff, all the winning, all the losing, college, studying, the whole shebang. And you just, you see him for the first time. It's like, it's just something you can't describe. So
let's go through the roster, the newcomers.
Yep.
Introduce folks to the new members of the roster.
Sure. So we'll start with Niels van der Siege. He's from the Netherlands. He was our first commit in the class. Tennis, loves tennis. Just a tennis nerd. Just up and down. Lives it, eats it, breathes it. Loves tennis. Super competitive. Big upside. He's still growing. He's still growing out and growing up. I mean, those are the types of players that I love to recruit, just because, you don't have to, I'm not going to have to motivate him to want to do well. I'm not going to have to keep an eye on him at the training table, making sure he's eating the right stuff. He's going to be doing his homework as well. Like, he's just a well-rounded kid raised by a great family. And
say his last name again.
Van der. Two. It's three words. Van and then der and then siege. S-I-G-C-I-J-S.
Okay. I was looking at what's the acclimation process time for folks who are coming from different countries to come to Lincoln, Nebraska and engage themselves in academics and athletics?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I mean, and we run a tight ship too. So no matter how hard they've worked in, at home, the level of intensity is going to be higher than what they're used to. And then you're going to have to turn around and go to school right after and manage all that as well. So we're so lucky that we're set up with all the resources that we have. I know every time I come on, I talk about it. And, you know, I can't reiterate how important all that is. But the tutors and the academic support, the life skills, you know, up and down the table there, it's just amazing. So it really allows the student athletes to really focus on their sport when they come to practice. And, you know, we're going to need them too. So.
Is there some nutritional adjustment as well?
I think the food's just different. The food that we have here at the training table is amazing. But, you know, the way they raise their cattle and their chickens and stuff overseas is different than how it is here. So sometimes they got to adjust a little bit here and there. But the tennis players are very well educated on nutrition at a young age, because that's kind of how our sport's designed. Novak Djokovic really revolutionized that in our game. So you have kids that are 15, 16, 17 years old who know what to eat already, know how to eat, and when to eat. And I think that's pretty unique with the sport of tennis, just because you've got to try and maximize your body, and it's becoming a really, really physical sport. But yeah, I mean, the nutritional side's, you know, you are what you eat. And that's, you know, tennis, you can't sub yourself out. So you gotta be able to do it.
That's why I didn't play tennis. So yeah. I am a pizza. Who else is new to the roster?
Yep, we got another freshman, Jari Lassila from Finland. Same deal as Niels. Loves tennis. Not quite as tall and big yet, but he's got a lot of game. Very talented, cool under pressure. Moment doesn't get to him. So, you know, you can't. It's really hard to teach. He's him and Niels both have won a lot of matches in the juniors. Also hard to teach. It's really hard to teach winning, how to win. That takes time. These guys have it already. So even though they're freshmen and they're going to have to get used to everything, they're going to have to put on some muscle and grow and get used to college, they have the right bones and characteristics to be successful in year one here, and that's what we're looking for. So
how do you process that you have some idea about the depth of your roster, but placement, are you looking, do you know who your one is, do you know who your two is, do you know who the doubles are going to be, or does that play out throughout the course of fall?
I think last year there was a little bit of a pecking order. You know, Calvin was a first team all Big Ten returner, and Anton had a national ranking last year. So those two were penciled up at the top at one and two, whatever way you wanted to order them at the beginning of the year. Calvin ended up playing mostly one. But this year, I think we got a team that's everyone can play everywhere. And I've never been on a team like that. I've never coached a team like that. So I'm really curious to see, you know, who's gonna seize their opportunity and say, hey, I want to play number one for the Huskers this year. I want to play number one for the, you know, fifth best team in the conference. You know, I want to be that guy. So that'll be what the fall is about. We're going to learn a lot about our guys. I think you gotta really see what you got. You got to put them under pressure. You got to, you know, break them down and then bring them back up. But you got to, you know, my job is to find out what we have. And then after that, I'll have a better idea of, you know, who's going to be playing where and what. You have an idea now, but it's a new year, new team, new energy. And whatever happened last year doesn't matter. You know, you're not entitled to success. You got to earn it each and every year, each and every day. So we'll see.
Is there a chance to use this to make the team incomplete better? That, quite frankly, compete. And you have a chance in that competition to get better.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, we've made it clear, like, if you were a captain last year, you're not There's no.
Literally the next question.
There's nothing guaranteed you'll be a captain this year. You got to earn it again. We vote for captains at the end of the fall. So, everything you do from day one of practice up until captains are voted for in 3 months, like, it all matters. It all counts. But
what do you say to them defining what leadership should be?
My biggest thing with leadership is, you need to be whatever we dubbed this season, the chase. And that means chasing, greatness every single day. So that means, okay, every decision that you make, is it helping the team move towards greatness, or are we taking a step back the other way? So if you're going to be a captain of the team, you've got to be choosing, this decision I'm going to make, no matter how big or small it is, it has to be the right decision in terms of pushing the team towards greatness, whatever that means for our team this year, whether it's a Big Ten title, I don't know, but we're going to maximize what we got and getting our guys to understand that your daily decisions, your daily habits are what build our team into a monster that no one's going to want to play and compete against come January, or a team that, someone's got to finish 8th, 9th, 10th in the Big Ten. It can be you guys too if you want it to be. You guys, that's where the leadership, who's the leaders of this team, have to be choosing greatness with every decision they make. And then hopefully the youngsters and the new guys hop on board too.
You have 5 seniors, but leadership being formed and earned, not given.
Yeah.
But they are the placeholders for that 5th spot. They know what kind of work was put in. Sure. They also know some of the deficit that's required, mm-hmm. right, for them to fill. Talk about the leadership in the seniors, because this is the final run for them. What's the expectation?
Yeah, I think what they learned last year was just, as my first year as the interim head coach, it was a little different. Last year, I was actually the head coach. And they got a taste of me in the entire season and how long and physical it is, not just like physically on your body, but also mentally, the expectations of competing your hardest each and every single match is not easy. And they learned that last year, and some of them did well with it. Some of them didn't, out of those 5 seniors, and that's okay. But I think they understand me now. They understand what's coming. They understand how to manage their bodies better, their minds better. I'm learning too. I'm improving too. But the Big Ten's only getting tougher, man. I'm telling you what. Like some of the recruits, the Big Ten's leveling up, just like in football and some of these other sports. Like the Big Ten ain't messing around. So they understand what's in front of them. They understand, they have a better understanding of me. They know what tomorrow's practice is going to be like. The freshmen don't, but they do. So, I'm going to lean on them, whether or not they're a captain or not. I always say everyone should be a leader. You should be yourself as a leader in your own eyes, no matter what anyone else votes or says. But yeah, these 5 guys are going to be instrumental to what we do this year for sure.
How do you keep from looking over the fence at your neighbors in the Big Ten Conference? How you want to focus on your own work, but young people. We know this about teenagers. They look across the fence, man. They need to see what other folks are doing. How do you boundary that?
Yeah, I think you have to. I had a great coach in college, and the thing I remember the most is when he spoke, you felt him. It wasn't like talking to him or, every coach says the right thing, but the players got to feel you, man. They got to feel you. They got to believe you. They got to feel you. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be from the heart. And they got to believe that the message you're giving them is the truth. These kids aren't dumb. They know what's going on. So, look, for me, it's like, guys, look, it's the first day of the fall. We can't win the Big Ten today, but we can most certainly lose it. It's 1 hour and we're going to practice for 1 hour. Water bottles are filled up before practice if you want to warm up your body physically, do all the band stuff that happens before 8 a.m. And then once 8 a.m. comes, we got an hour of flying around. That's all we got. So we're going to be great for an hour, and then that's all we're allowed to do with you. And then we'll do it again the next day. But just trying to stack good days after one good day after another. I don't know. I just feel like the with coaching and specifically in tennis, it's more of like teaching the game. And I think what's unique about college is you can teach them how to compete and how to win. And that's something that I learned while I was in college. And I think that's the ingredient that keeps you good every year is, hey, you know, we're going to be some tough SOBs and we're going to compete and we're going to be tough no matter, you know, what's going on. And from there, like, let's roll with the punches. And if you guys do that, I'll, you know, you guys are going to be one hell of a team come May.
It's got to be cool to see the surrounding success of some of the other athletic programs, and it should move the needle. We'll go to break. When we come back, two things I got to ask. One, what you think is going to happen to the U.S. Open? Because it's already, I mean, again, watching it form has been pretty brilliant. And then two, what are your keys to tomorrow night? I need to know what Coach Cobalt thinks the Huskers need to do in order to get a win against Cincinnati. Peter Cobalt, DP, we'll be right back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, brought to you by Canopy Street Market on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It is Husker Football Eve. Peter Corbell, Nebraska tennis head coach in the room, and keys. Like if you're giving the pregame speech for Matt Rhule, What are you pointing out to them as a coach?
Oh man, don't put the mic in my hand there.
I just say some
Matt's got those pregame speeches down. He's a killer with that one minute, man.
Yeah, but what are the keys? What do you want? Because it's that last thing that you want players to take with them. The thing that voice in their head. Planting seeds is what John Thompson used to always say. In the pregame. What are the keys? If you're Nebraska football on the road opening night.
I think you just got to play discipline. They're going to have to manage their emotions. I know they're super excited. It's going to be an insane venue. It's 90% Husker fans. The place is going to be bumping. Bus, you know, everyone's going to be there. Travis Kelce, the whole shebang. I mean, it's going to be about, you know, can we just make this another day? Can we just do the basics well? You know, I think they're a bigger, stronger, faster team than Cincinnati. I think they got more talent in the right positions. You know, some explosive guys on the outside, great running backs, offensive line's great. Dylan's obviously phenomenal. Quarterback coming in year two. Defense is going to be strong. Like, can we tackle well? Can we not turn the ball over? Can we, you know, play the last 2 minutes of the first half and the first 2 minutes of the second half? Well, you know, just fundamental football. Can we handle the emotions of the, you know, first game of the year? All that. I think that's going to be the key.
Probably. On the road, right? Travel. What do you do food-wise? Is that catered from within, or is that you allowing your host to kind of set that up for you?
Football is a whole nother beast. They're traveling, you know, a whole army down there. Tennis, we got 12, 13 guys, so we can kind of pick and choose what we want. We kind of see where we go. Some of the guys like certain restaurants, so if we find one of those there, we'll go. You know, our fan favorite for the team is Cava. Whenever we're on the road, Cava, it's like a Mediterranean Chipotle kind of deal. Yeah. Really good. But something Italian-ish or rice and proteins, that sort of deal. I have a rule that guys make fun of me. They think they're hoping that I don't reinstated this year, but I got a 24-hour no dairy rule. The dairy.
You mentioned that. I was wondering if you were gonna hold to that.
Absolutely, man. The dairy sits in your stomach, and it's tough to digest. So any of those young kids out there, if you're going out to play a game, no ice cream, no milk in the morning with your cereal. Get rid of that, and you'll start.
What's the breakfast then? No cereal, no milk. What's the breakfast?
Oats, toast, eggs. Avocado, berries, you know,
protein.
I mean, that's where you know the eggs and the, if you want to add some like some bacon
say it. Yeah!
Like some bacon
say
or
it. Say it
on tour, man, all the Europeans would eat smoked salmon. I'm just like, I can't do salmon in the morning, man. That's too much.
But
you should see some of the breakfasts out there, man, over across the world. Some of them are wild. So, just stay away. I like to stay away from dairy. Everything digests better.
So you're telling Nebraska football, you're telling the bigs, no dairy.
I'm not telling them anything. They do. They know how those guys roll. You know, the nutritional staff, Kristen Coggins, phenomenal. Flick, they do an amazing job. They'll have whatever they need down there to roll 100%. Those boys know what they need to eat.
It's always cool perspective, right, that you get to see them on a day-to-day basis, see how they move, see how they work. And as Jalen said, this team looks a little different, just physically. They look a little different.
Yep.
Your eyes to it, as a coach, how's it look?
Yeah, same. They definitely look different. They got some athletes in the building, that's for sure.
Isn't that interesting that you pay attention to that thing? You like to believe that it's all the internal stuff, right? It's all heart character.
Sure. Well, I think you can't have one or the other. Like, you have to have both. And I think that's what Coach Rhule does such a good job of. You know, he's coaching the small details. He's coaching the dot in your I's and the cross in your T's. And now he's got some guys that look like they can play on Sundays also doing that. And that's where you can kind of start to, you know, build the harpoon, you know, to really go and spear some of these top programs out there. So I think that's why Coach Rhule's excited. Year three, you know, like I said, like I think we need to kind of get out of this year three thing, like a little bit. Like, that's, you know, Coach Rhule's a phenomenal coach, guys. Like, whether it's year three or year four or year five, like, he's getting this thing going in the right direction. I mean, we're inside the training table every day. We see the guys. They're bigger, stronger, faster. They look different. They talk different. They walk different. Like, they're getting better. So whether it happens tomorrow night or 1 year from now, it's coming. It's coming.
It's important to hear. It's important to hear. Like, we get into our vacuum, and sometimes you can get caught up in it. That's why we ask you. Change the whole thing. And finally, who are the favorites in US Open? Who do you like?
I mean, you can't bet against Jannik Sinner. He's the best player in the world, best on hard court. Alcaraz is always going to be in there. I would hope that we see someone new, maybe start to fight their way in there. But right now, it's a two-horse race in this thing, man. It's Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz.
On the women's side, who you got?
I'm going to go with Coco Gauff, American. American.
Listen, working on the serve.
Yeah,
working on the serve.
She's got to get it going. But she just hired a new coach. If she does, she got through round one last night. She can get a few more wins under her belt. You know, sky's the limit for her.
Coach, thank you, bro.
Thank you, DP.
It's always good. We're going to do this regular, man. I told you. We got to figure out, do we want to call it Nebraska Tennis or the Peter Cobelt?
No, Nebraska, baby.
There we go. There it is, bro. Don't go anywhere. The coach, Barry Thompson, joins us from Virginia. He'll break it all down for you here on the Ticket.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.